Death Spiral, the only anime podcast that has initiated a class action lawsuit against Horny. Inexplicably, we are back yet again onto the podcast scene to talk to you.
Remy, you gotta help me. I'm in big trouble. I'm in big trouble. You gotta help me.
I didn't anticipate this when I started the show. What is it, Nate?
I made a mistake, okay?
Only one?
It was a big mistake.
Oh, okay.
I ended up watching some anime.
I'm really sorry to hear that. Was it good?
No, it was some of the worst anime that I've ever seen.
Okay, so that's your first mistake, is if you're going to watch anime, it should at least be the good anime.
That's what they keep telling me, but how do I find the good anime?
Well, you listen to Anime Death Spiral, of course.
What? That was smooth.
Yeah, that's fucking right. That's fucking right. unfortunately, I didn't watch any anime, so maybe this is not the episode to listen to.
See, now you're at the mercy of my horrible taste.
Yeah, I didn't watch any anime, well, except for regular weekly stuff, and Nate only watched bad anime, so, I mean, I'm kind of at a loss. Do you want to talk about your horrible anime? I feel like it'll make me sick.
I feel like I need to talk about this horrible anime to, like, a therapy session. I need to get off my chest.
Is it getting off your chest, or are you simply cursing me with the knowledge of this bad anime?
Like the ancient curse of the werewolf, I am passing it on to any who get in my radius. It is a disease.
That does make me a little reluctant to take on your anime anti-recommendations. If I Google most anticipated spring anime 2024.
Well, okay, if that's the term you're searching by, I think there's a good chance that one of the ones that I watched is going to pop up. Definitely, I think some people were looking forward to this.
Okay, wait, let me guess. Based on the list of most anticipated, let's go to cbr.com. Is it Demon Slayer?
No.
Is it That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime Season 3?
No. I still haven't watched the first two.
Is it My Hero Academia Season 7?
Do I look like a little baby who watches stuff like that?
Is it Yuru Camp Delta Season 3?
No.
Is it Konosuba God's Blessing on This Wonderful Earth / The Irregular at Magic High School?
Okay, this list is making me feel less confident in my assertion that this was going to be an anticipated anime for people. I was looking forward to it. It was on my list from last week's episode.
It's not even cracking any of these lists, though.
That's actually quite dismaying to see.
Yeah.
I am, of course, talking about the Spice and Wolf remake series, the new adaptation of Spice and Wolf.
Oh, yeah, nobody's looking forward to that.
I guess not. and I have to tell you, it's with great dismay that I have to report that Spice and Wolf has gone woke.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Spice and Wolf is woke?
Spice and Wolf has gone woke now.
The agrarian society has taken on a Marxist materialist bent.
Even worse than that.
Even worse?
They stopped showing the anime Fox Girls nipples.
Like they blurred them out?
No. They did that classic, Little Mermaid cover them with hair thing, which is not the case in the original series, making it far superior. That series knew when to put a nipple on screen, let me tell you.
Okay, is this one of those things where they released it with a texture pack for American audiences and you have to, like, pay for the DLC to get the original costume?
That would be such an ingenious marketing move. If we can somehow finally find a way to integrate that into English simulcast of anime, right?
Yeah, I know. Do you remember, maybe you don't, because you weren't much of a Kanye fan at the time, but do you remember when Pablo came out and Kanye pulled Wolves off the album so that he could redo it, and then he reloaded up a different version of the song after the release of the album?
No, I don't remember that.
No?
No.
Okay, well, that is a thing that happened. A lot of people thought that was basically the end of music, but other bands didn't end up doing that very often. But I do see it in the future of anime. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like when the last season of Jujutsu Kaisen hits DVD or Blu-ray or whatever they have now, whatever hardware exists at the time.
Don't ask me.
Who knows? I haven't bought a real thing in years. They're going to redo those animations. Like, you know it. They're not going to release the Blu-ray with, like, those fucking animatics still in there.
You think so? I mean, it would be prudent not to, right?
I think there's no way they would release the Blu-ray versions of that season with all that unfinished shit still in it. I mean, come on.
You know, the same can be said for a lot of recent MAPPA projects. Like, people were pointing out a lot of messy details in Chainsaw Man when that was airing as well. I wouldn't be surprised if we see, like, remastered versions replace the broadcast versions, you know, almost completely. They'd love to turn that shit into lost media.
I wasn't even thinking about it when I said that, but I'm thinking about it now, and there's a lot of times where the art gets redrawn from the serialized manga release to the volume release.
Uh-huh.
That happens pretty often.
Well, the big example off the top of my head that I can think of would be something like the color compression that happens on like the Dragon Ball Z original releases or Sailor Moon, where the TV broadcasts were these much more vivid, bright, more fully saturated versions of the color palette. And then on the VHS home release, they all kind of get muted down. You know, that just becomes the standard from then on. If they didn't keep the original masters to port to Blu-ray later on, then it's gone.
Yeah, I mean, look, there was a very dark period of time before we had Sony brand Blu-ray discs that included high dynamic range and bonus content for very reasonable prices. And thank God those times are over.
Thank God.
Thank God. So basically what you're telling me is you should be waiting for the Blu-ray release of Spice and Wolf Brotherhood.
Yeah, you should be waiting for the unrated version. The Spring Break edition.
Yes.
You know, I'm not sure why this exists, to be perfectly honest. I did remember watching the first two seasons of the original series, and it's based off of kind of a, yeah, I don't know how big the light novel series is, but it's based off the first few volumes of a light novel series, as a lot of these type of anime are.
I didn't know it was a book series.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a light novel that got adapted into the anime in like 2005, 2006, around there. Maybe that's a little earlier. Maybe it's like 2008.
They tricked me. They totally tricked me. I thought it was a completely original work.
Nope.
Those bastards.
I wonder how they choose, right? Like, they must have sold well in Japan for it to get an anime adaptation.
There's 10 books.
Okay, yeah.
And one of them hasn't been released yet.
So they're still going on.
So clearly, these are a juggernaut.
So maybe it's just I labeled it here Spice and Wolf Brotherhood, because it's essentially just doing what the Full Metal Alchemist anime did. They're going back and trying to be a little bit more accurate to the book series, because they ran into the issue of kind of having to adapt it, add in some filler stuff, because there was as yet unreleased things back then.
Yeah, that's why they show her nipples, right? As like a sort of a make good with the audience.
Yeah, no, it's a token of goodwill towards the audience. Like, hey, this isn't going to be the most accurate adaptation, but it will be the most nude one.
You won't worry about the unfinished ending so much, as long as we have the weird little fox girl be like mostly naked.
Yeah. She's only naked for half of an episode. Total ripoff.
And then she discovers clothes exist?
Then she discovers clothes exist, and that she looks good in them. Her words.
She's like, why was I naked for so long? Clothes fucking rule.
Basically, yeah.
That I can agree with.
That's one thing that I watched, and unfortunately, probably the best thing out of the three, if we're talking in terms of, like, value as a cultural artifact. As like something that should exist.
Yeah. So you're going to watch more of that?
I'll probably end up watching more of that. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, you would be. I don't know. Maybe I'm just interested in the intricacies of medieval grain trading. Have you ever considered that?
Yeah. You know what? If there's anything I know about your interests, it's pre-industrialization of markets.
I'm just saying we should go back to a pre-industrial agrarian society. It makes the most sense.
Frankly, I have to say, it looks insanely boring.
Well, that's why they have to add in kind of like the flirtation of this dude and essentially a manic pixie dream girl that is glommed on to him, right?
Yes. I get it. You throw the fantastical element in there, yes, to like spice it up a little bit.
I suppose if there's one other flavoring to it, it is the backdrop of the growing influence of Christianity in its attempt to wipe out kind of like the pre-Christian pagan.
The pagan society.
Yeah, because that's what Hollow, the main character, the wolf girl, that's her whole deal. She's a god of the harvest.
I got to tell you, it's pretty easy to fight Christianity as a pagan god because you exist. You have a huge advantage.
Well, okay, so I was just about to bring that up.
Oh, really? You were going to get there?
She is a living, breathing magical fox or wolf god. Yeah. Right, she can turn into a giant wolf and eat people.
Oh, you didn't mention that.
Yeah,
wait, I might be back in.
No, that's like her whole thing is she can, when she wants to, she can turn into like a giant death wolf.
Well, that's sick as hell. Why didn't you lead with that?
Because she doesn't do that often. It's not that important.
Wow, okay, all right.
but the whole thing is like she's there, she is objectively a thing that exists, and she has powers that she can use, god powers, to make grain grow and shit. So does that mean that Jesus also exists? That I'm imagining this is one of the situations where it's like a god exists as long as you have enough people to believe in you, right? That's how gods work.
We've already talked about how much I hate that stupid shit. I hate that phenomenon so
much.
Yeah,
well, you're unique in that for no discernible reason. I think that works just fine.
I think the reason is very discernible if you think about it for even 10 seconds.
Which I refuse to.
I will say, if there are 10 books...
Which there aren't.
Well, 9 right now. It seems very likely that Jesus could show up at any time and battle the wolf girl.
I think that at some point, Jesus should show up and fist fight a wolf. It would make it so worth it.
I think if you live in a non-Christian dominated society, you have to take advantage of that and have Jesus battle all kinds of different stuff. Kaiju, etc.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What's the biggest monster you think Jesus could take on? Like what? What's his strength scale?
Well, you know, this may be a little blasphemous, but my mind snaps to, like, if he can't do the feats of Hercules, then, like, he's not really worth worshiping, you know what I mean? So he's got to take on, let's see. Now, I'm not super up on my mythology, but, like, I think Hercules killed a Medusa. I think he killed a giant lion at some point. He definitely killed a big Minotaur.
Perseus
killed Medusa. I think he killed some of his like brothers and sisters at some point too. So there's like a gaggle of demigods.
Listen, if he wasn't killing, he was fucking.
Was he?
Oh yeah.
I don't remember that part.
Yeah, all the time.
I assumed Hercules was like a semen retention guy. In the Disney movie, he definitely is. That's where his glow comes from. Remember, he loses his glow after he hooks up with the hot lady.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. That's semen retention.
You didn't want to run into him during No Nut November.
Yeah. Look, I thought that was very bold for a Disney movie during the Disney sance. I think that maybe is why Iger came in and put a kibosh on that. It was like, no more semen retention heroes in the Disney canon.
Here's basically where I'm at. I think that someone even as lowly as a common writer could beat Jesus. So I don't think he ranks high on my scale.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
You think a common writer could beat Jesus?
Ultraman absolutely could stomp Jesus.
He could stomp him, yeah, but you know what? The thing about Jesus is he's kind of got an Obi-Wan thing going where if you strike him down, he only returns more powerful than the last. That's kind of his whole deal.
Suck it, you just made me God!
Yeah, exactly. That's sort of his whole thing. Isn't it Lucario in Smash Bros. Who gets stronger the more you beat him up?
Yeah, I think so. He charges up his punch meter.
Jesus is kind of a Lucario.
Well, Lucario also died on a cross for our sins.
Yeah, and we're the first podcast to say it. We're the first podcast brave enough to say it.
Lucario deserves your worship more than Jesus. I'm saying it right now. And you know what? Lucario, also kind of a dog thing, like Hollow the Wolf God.
Yeah, you know what? I always thought of her as a fox girl, too. I mean, it's the wolf thing is sitting there right there in the name. I don't know why I always pictured her as a fox girl.
I think that you're spot on. I think they can say whatever they want. This is obviously a fox girl. You can tell by, like, the white tip with the red fur kind of thing going on. Like, that's a fox.
Yeah, when I see red fur, I think fox, not wolf. When I think wolf, I think of that Liam Neeson movie where he gets eaten by the wolves. Those wolves are gray.
The Gray was that movie. That's what that movie was called.
It's called The Gray because the wolves were gray.
Yeah, well, also because the weather was gray. Everything was kind of like gray-coated.
Yeah, he was also kind of a sad sack, so his personality was gray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he sucked.
Yeah, that loser who lost his wife. What an asshole. Okay, enough of this. What else did you watch?
Oh, God, do I have to? Do I have to talk about that? All right.
Look, you brought it up. You're right. We could have talked about something else.
This is my penance.
But you brought it up.
All right. I watched the first episode of something called God's Games We Play. Have you heard of this?
Yes, I have heard of this, obviously, because of my death game obsession. I made a point of noting this one, but I also noted that this is definitely one of the fake death games.
I thought the same thing. Not a death game. Not a death game at all.
Not a death game.
Also, I'm not really sure what it is at this point. I've only seen the first episode, obviously, but the premise seems to be that gods, supremely powerful, wish-granting beings, just like exist.
Kami.
Yeah, Kami. They exist, and they just like playing games and seeing people squirm, I guess. Like, that's their whole deal.
Yes. Yet again, kind of the Greek pantheon mode.
Mm-hmm. And so they have set up this generations-long tradition of, these increasingly complex physical and mental games that their chosen apostles can compete in to essentially one day, hopefully, maybe, get the chance to have unlimited wishes.
Yeah.
The first episode starts off with a cold open of these science wizards unearthing a naked lady encased in ice up in the North Pole.
Girl in a box.
Girl in a box. Classic girl in a box.
Classic girl in a box setup.
They discover her like the scientist discovering the thing. And then we get a cold cut to modern day. I can't remember what the capital city was called. It was something stupid like the city was named Enchantment or something like that.
Enchanter's City.
Not Enchanter's City, like Enchantment.
Enchantment.
Yeah, that was the name of the city or something like that. And
Enchantment, and, North Dakota.
Yeah. You know, they got a diner with the best pie there you ever had. And so we get introduced to what I see. It's like the government of this world, this setting, where, by the way, when you get granted the seal of a god's approval and become an apostle, sometimes you get magic powers, it seems like.
Oh, you gotta.
You gotta have magic powers to compete in the game.
Yeah, of course.
Because there's monsters and traps and mazes and whatnot involved.
Yeah, it wouldn't be fair otherwise.
And so the world government has been set up to kind of accommodate this tradition as like the central focal point of its entire existence.
Yeah.
And so we get introduced to the main character, who is a like intern in this apostle program with the government, and he wants to be the very best game player that there ever was. And
cool, man. What a cool guy.
Yeah. No, he's a totally cool guy, and he's got big spiky yellow and red hair, and his grandpa gave him an Exodia set.
Now, what I do have to point out here, this is a very stock death game character. The guy who is really into games and wants to be the best game player.
Yeah, that pops up a lot.
Yeah, I mean, not even in a broad sense. I mean, like, literally this guy.
Like, okay, so, like, we're introduced to this characteristic about him because they're like, hey, we want to introduce you to this new god that we found because we think that you guys would be a good match. And
you guys would be so cute together.
You'd be a really cute couple. and we think that you could win the game. And this dude is like a prodigy. He's the only intern that's won.
A prodigy?
Yeah.
You mean prodigy?
Prodigy, yeah.
You mean Firestarter? That prodigy?
Yeah, he's a real maverick is what I'm trying to say.
I see. Okay. Please yeah. tell me his head explodes like in the first 10 minutes of the show.
No, he's actually a super, super amazing boy genius man.
I don't like that.
Yeah. And so this new god, whose name is Leche, like the Spanish word for milk.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where they're getting that one
from.
Her
name's Leche?
Other than maybe because she has...
Don't say it. Don't say it. Big, please, God.
Big breasts.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, that's on them. I'm just pointing out... I'm just telling it like it is, man. Anyway, she's like, all right, well, if you're going to be my apostle, I've got to test you. And she puts him through... A series of memory games and games of chance. Like, she asks him to roll a specific number on two dice. And he's like, well, that's easy. You just have to throw it just so, like this, and you can make it land on whatever numbers you want.
Wait, he admits to cheating?
No, he admits to be... Is it cheating if you're so skilled at throwing the dice you can make them do what you want? Is that cheating?
Yeah, there's a pretty simple test to figure out if something's cheating or not. Would the bouncers throw you out of the casino for doing it?
Well, that's different because they have a monetary stake in it.
This guy's got a monetary stake in it. He's trying to become a wishmaster.
No, he doesn't get to master the wishes. He just gets a lot of wishes.
Okay, he gets a lot of wishes. That's the same as winning a big hand, okay?
And you know what's even crazier? Like, this god specifically lays out, like, oh, yeah, and by the way, you can wish for more wishes. There's no rule against it.
Oh, they address that in the first episode?
They just straight up say, like, yeah, you can wish for as many wishes as you want.
Why not just give you a billion, million, billion wishes, like, right off the bat, then? Like, why pussyfoot around it?
Well, maybe you're, like, an idiot, and you don't realize that, and you think that you only get one wish.
Do you think a lot of really stupid guys, like, make it through all the trials? They're like, well, it's only three wishes, right? I guess I want, like, a car, a house, and a girl.
Well, according to what I've kind of gathered, it's no one has known what the prize is up until this new god confirms it.
So no one's won before.
No. And I mentioned that before. No one has ever won. This dude is is a mega genius man, baby boy, because he's won three rounds in a row without dying.
Sure.
You have to win 10. You have to win 10 rounds in a row before you get to be a wishmaster.
That's all very standard death game stuff. I just find I'm really good at games because I know how to cheat really well, like, to be very lame.
Well, like, okay, another one of the test games that they do is it's a memory game of, like the card memory game where you have to...
Yes, I know memory.
Yeah, but her twist on memory. It is that she uses her god powers to make all the cards spin in an orbiting three-dimensional pattern to make them harder to memorize where they are. They're all constantly moving and floating around the room.
Yeah, I mean, we've played video games, so yes. That's not really like...
I've played any number of Mario DS games.
Yeah, I've played Mario Party, like, 1 through 10. I think this is not a big deal to me.
So this also demonstrates his ability. He has, like, perfect 3D spatial memory. So it's just cementing him as the ultimate big brain genius man of the series.
By the way, all shit the main girl from Kakiguri can do, by the way. I just wanted to point that out.
Oh, yeah, that's her deal?
Yeah, and she's not even, like, fighting for wishes. She just likes gambling.
She's just really good at gambling, and she likes seeing people lose
money.
She's
just really good, and she's really into it. She never loses money. She's so fucking good.
If I could have a power... My superpower would be to never lose money at gambling.
It's not the worst one to have.
And I'd do it without Tom Cruise, too. I'll just say that right now.
I think I would have Quicksilver's power.
Yeah, you want to go real fast? You want to be a Sonic?
Yeah, I think that'd be fun.
if I could have a power, I'd want a Mario power where people turn into money if I jump on their head.
You better start working on your vertical leap.
Well, that's also part of the power, is I get a 15-foot vertical leap.
Oh, so you could just join the NBA.
Well, again, I've already won the God's Game challenge, and I am a wishmaster now.
Okay.
And I'm using my billion wishes to wish for a billion more wishes, and all of those wishes are being Mario.
I wish I was taller. I wish I was a baller. Yes, I get it. The thing that really bums me out about this thing is that this is an amalgamation of a few different, much better death games. The gambling, like Game Master, and the no life or death stakes is really Kakiguri. The guy whose whole thing is that he's like so good at games that he's like bored of playing regular games, that's like Battle 5 Seconds After Meeting. And of course, the whole God aspect is lifted directly out of As the Gods Will, which, as I've mentioned many times before, is my favorite death game series. Except in that one, I guess I'll go ahead and spoil the end. The guy who wins replaces the previous guy and becomes God. Turns out to just be the guy who's won the game the last time it was played.
Ain't that just the way?
And if you win the game, you become the new God. So God really is just a piece of shit who floats around killing people at random just to test them to see if they're good enough at random games to become the next God.
But what is a Wishmaster but a new God, huh?
That's kind of what I'm driving at, is if you have unlimited wishes, you are a God. There's no getting around that.
Well, I don't know. What can the old gods just choose to stop granting your wishes? What are the limitations there?
Just say wish number one, I'm a god.
Well,
I'm a god now.
Okay. All right. Bold Boom. Strategy. I see where you're going.
What are they going to say? Hey, no, wait, that's not fair.
Yeah. Come what on. If they just said no?
No.
No.
What if it was you win and you have the opportunity to ask for a wish? And they're just like, nah.
Nah.
Nah. You cheated. You cheated, you little bastard.
Oh, well, you know what? You know what this kind of reminded me a little bit of is there's a little bit of Lawnmower, not Lawnmower Man.
Hell yeah, dude. Lawnmower Man? Oh, yeah. Hell
that
yeah.
would be a lot cooler. That would be way cooler.
Digital Cyber God?
No. What's the Arnold movie?
The Running Man.
The Running Man. Yes, thank you. There's a little bit of The Running Man in here because...
More Stephen King. Going right back to the source.
So to participate in these God games, you have to go into the God dimension. There's like a portal that the government controls that you have to enter. It's a big magical doorway.
Yep,
and,
of course.
And you go into the fantasy god world to compete in the games, and that's
totally.
All the monsters and dungeons and mazes are, right?
Yes. You've got to have some kind of magical arena that is under the omnipotent being's control so that they can set up all kinds of wild games for you.
But,
yes, this is very standard stuff.
But they have magical interdimensional cameras, and they broadcast these god games around the world as sport.
Sure, sure.
And people like sit around in lawn chairs and drink beer and watch them on big stadium screens.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let me tell you about Real Account, because Real Account is the same setup. You go basically into what the players are initially think is a like alternate dimension, like a game dimension.
Wait, is Real Account the precursor to Dead Account?
And
then the next one after that is Real Dead Account.
It is connected in the way that they both think that the internet is bad. That's for sure. In Real Account, the whole point is that they are broadcasting to players basically over Facebook Live. And so everybody gets to watch it, and it becomes an event until they realize that there at the beginning there's a whole buy-in system, right? So you like follow whoever player you like the most is, right? That's like a whole aspect of it. So everybody's kind of like doing fan battles over these characters. Until a little ways into the story, it turns out that if the guy you are following dies in the game, you die too.
Frankie Muniz action going on. Die in the game, die in real life.
Yeah, all your followers die in real life.
All your followers die. That's even better.
All your followers die. Yes. So if you're following somebody who fucking flops out of the game, you die. You're dead. So suddenly people are watching this game with very different stakes.
Okay, so you are familiar with the concept of the modern person who eschews social media, right?
The modern man.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm not one of those social media guys.
Yeah, you're talking about a return guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
If those guys would be walking around in this setting so fucking high up their own ass, like, you guys are dying out there? Why don't you just not follow them? Why don't you put down your phone every once in a while, idiot?
Oh, a whole cult emerges that's like, phones are evil, and the whole thing is like, hey, everybody needs to, like, throw their phones away, and we're gonna, like, burn all our phones.
If people were dying because of that, then yeah, that makes total sense. Those people are right.
Yeah, people are pretty into it. Of course, you know, you are dooming, if you unfollow all these people and, like, get your phone away, you are dooming the players of the game, which are innocent teenagers for the most part.
Fuck them teens.
Fuck those teens. So, again, I have to reiterate that this God's Games we play, like, the fact that there is no actual stakes involved is, like, making it, like, very lame.
Well, okay, they haven't introduced stakes yet, as far as I can tell. I'm assuming that there is risk of death inside the God world, or maybe when you die in there, you just get magically transported back to the real world. I don't know yet. I kind of hope that there's death stakes involved.
I doubt it.
It seems much more focused on, like, beating the gods through games of wit and memory.
Yeah.
It is that, like, vacation home game box starter pack of death games.
Yes.
Oh, hey, we got we got Liar's Dice and a deck of cards.
Sure, there's a movie trivia game in there that hasn't been updated since like 2002.
I found a backgammon board with no pieces.
Yeah, you know, the thing about death games is they establish the stakes very early on, because the stakes are sort of the driving force behind all of the action of a death game. I mean, for God's sakes, it's called death game. So if you don't have stakes in the first episode, it's probably not going to be a death game. Now, I want to ask you something about this. This caught my eye.
Okay.
Online, we have shows and they're all listed online with like tags, tags like adventure or fantasy, isekai, reincarnation, romance, school, sci-fi, comedy, whatever.
Well, how would I know to base, like, what to base my personality off of if I didn't have those categories?
Yeah, we need categories to regiment every aspect of our lives and tastes.
That just makes sense.
I notice one of the first tags on God's Games we play is ecchi.
Oh, actually, this is something that I have wanted to bring up for a little bit.
You are getting around to this.
Ecchi fantasy. Well, that, I mean, that makes sense. There's like a whole thing that they do where, you know, like Hollow, she's a god and she doesn't really get wearing clothes. And so he's like, hey, it's unfair. I need you to put on underwear so I'm not distracted while I'm trying to beat you in this memory game.
So it finally comes out. Yes. Yeah. We need to come up with a term for that as well, like the casual nudity thing, because this comes up in a lot of anime too.
Sure.
It's distinct, obviously distinct from like Girl in a Box or Fuck Baby. Though related to both of them, but it is distinct.
Well, it's often used as the most visually striking shorthand to saying like, oh, this person's values and way of thinking is totally alien to what you, the audience, should be expecting.
Yes, it is. It is a shorthand for culturally non-compliant, but we all know what's happening, right? We know what's actually
happening.
We know what's happening. You know, I've talked a little bit about Rebuild World before, and this, you know, Rebuild World does this for a little while, except like it's very pointed in that we know that the AI ghost woman that is doing it is like extremely manipulative and is doing this on purpose to try to like ingratiate itself, but fails because the little kid seems to be asexual. In every aspect of that word.
I can't tempt you in a sexual way, and that just totally goes against every understanding of that I have of the male psyche.
Yeah, the problem is you can't do that to another person who also eschews all of cultural norms. That happens as well in the manga Crazy Food Truck. Are you familiar with this one? Did I tell you about Crazy Food Truck?
I don't think so.
You might like Crazy Food Truck.
It sounds like it would.
Crazy Food Truck is a manga about a guy who runs a food truck in a sort of post-apocalypse world. He drives his food truck around to spots where monsters or giant fish or whatever.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I remember now.
Yeah.
This is familiar.
He catches them.
You did tell me about this.
He cooks them, and then he goes to, like, different communities, and he serves them food. He's, like, a cool dude. And then he gets a girl in a box who refuses to wear clothes for most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he's a gentleman about it, so don't worry.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I like that one too. That was also a good one. But it has the exact same thing going on. We got to come up with a good term for that.
We'll think on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, that definitely hints at what's in store for the rest of the show.
I don't know. I just want to get a little bit more context on what's going on. I'll probably watch the next episode. I don't know if I can stomach much more after that.
Okay, well, it sounds bad. Really bad.
Yeah, no, it was bad. If that didn't come in clear, it was bad. I did not enjoy it.
Yeah.
I was very confused for about 75% of the episode because, like so many anime seem to be doing recently, it just kind of drops you in cold and expects you to pick up what's going on in this world where people are like have magic powers and watch some kind of weird Running Man-esque game up on Jumbotrons. I didn't know what was going on, so I don't know.
Yeah, fuck that. Watch Kakiguri.
Watch any other gambling anime. They're fun.
Yeah, watch Kaiji. Even the live action movie I think is pretty good. Watch Kakiguri. Watch I don't know if there's an anime for Usagoi, but read Usagoi. Basically anything other than this.
Hell, go read the original Yu-Gi-Oh! Manga before they started the card game. It's wild.
Oh, yeah. Fuck, what's that Go series?
Oh, Hikaru no Go.
Yeah, go watch Hikaru no Go.
It'll make Go interesting, at least. That's Go with stand battles involved.
Yeah, or there's a couple good Shogi series, too, I will say. I'm reading one right now about a vampire who gets really into shogi.
Just because he has too much time on his hands?
Yeah. It's a great conceit because he's reaching the end of his meaningless existence and he's like, I just want to die. And then somebody teaches him how to play shogi and he's really bad at it. And then we cut to like 200 years later and he's like, I've gotten slightly better at shogi. And that's a great hook.
That's a good joke.
Yeah, it's a really good joke. And he starts playing in tournaments and stuff and he's like getting better and better. It's good. It's a very good one.
Yeah, do any of that. Don't watch this.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck this.
All right. I guess that brings me to the last new episode that I watched. From the first round of spring releases. And,
oh God, I'm dreading this already.
Oh boy, this was a hard one. I watched the first episode of Re Monster. That is RE:Monster.
Yes, Re Monster.
You're familiar with this?
Now, is this just borrowing the Re from ReZero, or is there a connection here?
That's what I thought at first, that maybe this was some kind of spinoff series, but no, I think they're just kind of trying to weasel in on the aesthetic of the title.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if there were more of these coming out.
It does make me curious as to, like, is there a cultural context behind the Re:Colon thing?
Oh, I think it's just the Japanese, like, tendency to, you know, condense words down into beginning and end syllables.
You think it's ornamentation?
It's ornamentation. It's Re for resurrection, right?
It's trendy ornamentation.
Yeah.
Okay.
They probably call it a Remo.
Remo.
Remo for the short.
I hate that. I really hate that, actually. This is by Studio Dean, by the way. I just want to point out because they also did the Sankaria anime.
What was Sankaria?
One of the worst things I've ever read. It's about a necrophile.
Yeah.
teenage necrophile.
Okay, so we're already off to a good start.
Yeah, his whole thing is that he loves zombies and he basically accidentally makes a zombie girlfriend. And they do a very, one of the most grotesque and ghoulish narrative moves I've ever seen in any manga. I don't even want to go further than that, but they play it off as very cutesy and meet cute-y. Mm-hmm. And I hate it. I think it's one of the worst things ever made. We're off to a good start because right after that, they started working on Konosuba.
Oh, they're the Konosuba team.
Yeah, and I've less said there, the better, right? I think we've made ourselves pretty clear on Konosuba. Okay. So, yes, coming out of the Konosuba studio.
So Re:Monster is, and I hate to inform you of this, but it is an isekai. So we got episode one, cold open, dark alley, two shaded figures, one, lying on top of the chest of the other, repeatedly striking down with a bloody knife, and a internal monologue of the dude on the ground getting stabbed. He's like, yep, that's me. I'm getting stabbed right now. This
retro
sucks.
Scratch.
Yep.
I bet you're wondering how I got myself in this mess.
And so he's like, yeah, well, I guess I'm about to die. And then cut to intro animation. And when we get back, he is taking his first breath as a little baby goblin in a new world.
Ah, so this is a titty sucking anime.
No, he's just like a little, there are no goblin mothers as far as I can see, which I guess we'll get into later.
Wow. Hey, that's okay. Look, we got to talk about stereotypes. That's not okay.
So he awakes. He's a little goblin baby now. Obviously still has the full mind of an adult from his previous life.
Yes, again, with something we've established as truly horrific, mm-hmm. like one of the most awful things you can imagine.
Now here's the twist that we get served right at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
What if I told you that he was isekai'd from another fantastical setting?
I would say that immediately terrifies me because of my experience with other isekai that start off in a fantasy setting and go to a different fantasy setting.
Well, you should absolutely be scared.
Yes.
So this establishes now, he's recounting his previous life, and he was the biggest, baddest, edgiest edgelord of a villain in that world. Because his power was he could, by consuming the flesh of his enemies, gain their abilities. Video game rules.
Yep.
He was a red mage, right? Cannibal red mage.
Sure. This is all ringing alarm bells from previous experiences.
And when you know it, you get to carry that power over into your next life.
Oh, he gets to keep it. Usually they would lose it, and that's kind of the dramatic tension there.
No, he starts off as a level one baby goblin. By the way, he like sees literal video game text writing in his head whenever he closes his eyes. It's
sure,
like a thing.
Sure. Sucks that he has to close his eyes. Most people just see it floating in front of them.
Yeah, no, he has to concentrate to see it. Literally bringing up the start menu. And so he's a level one baby goblin, but he still has the absorb ability. And so he uses his superior intelligence and ability to honestly get the weirdest fucking sounding abilities. Okay, so like he goes monster hunting, right?
Yes.
And he just starts eating shit. He just eats whatever he kills. And he just starts gaining abilities one after another. And there's stuff like vamp up or pyrophilia or muddomancy.
Wait, let's go back a step. Pyrophilia, he likes fucking fires? He's a firefucker?
Well, apparently he's like, yep, I guess I just got a new kink.
I gotta put my dick in that fire?
What else? Something called like thermology. Just nonsense words, nonsense sounding video game abilities.
Okay, all right.
And he uses these abilities and his superior intelligence to kind of like become the leader of the goblin kids in his goblin tribe, right? Because as he finds out from the goblin elders, if you can reach level 100 before dying of old age as a goblin, you can then transform into the next tier up of monster.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What's the next tier up of monster from a goblin?
Well, we find out at the end of the episode that it's a hobgoblin, which is basically
a hobgoblin.
Yeah.
Not an orc?
Well, that's something that stood out to me. In this one, they're explicitly taking the Zelda the classic Zelda interpretation of orcs, where they're like pig men. The orcs are big pig men with pig heads, right?
Well, that's rude.
A hobgoblin, I guess, is more of the classical orc that we think of from like Western fantasy, where it's ostensibly just a muscly green person, right?
Yeah.
Except for him, he's like a sexy, muscly green person.
Ugh.
Oh, and by the way, I should mention that he grows from little goblin baby to adult goblin to evolved hobgoblin sexy man in the span of about 11 days.
Wow. And yeah, how many minutes of the first episode is that? Like five?
About five.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And how many minutes until he meets the sexy anime lady he will be questing with?
Well, you see, part of his goblin crew is a female goblin who also evolves into a sexy hobgoblin lady.
Great. Cool. So, long, huh?
Hold on. I really need to get to a certain point. Like, when we're introduced, it does like this whole thing. It's like, all right, day one, I woke up as a baby. Day two, I've grown several feet overnight. I guess goblins grow a lot faster than humans do. And this is the worst part of the whole episode. He's like, all right, day five, I go walking around the goblin cave to see what kind of supplies we have because I want to make a weapon. And I wandered into a storage room full of naked captured human women.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Some of them like visibly pregnant.
Fucking
and then
Jesus
that's just
Christ.
Not mentioned again. It just skips to day six and we go on with the story. It never goes back to that.
Yeah, because that is well-worn thematic territory in just pure like exploitation genre shit.
Yeah, it's awful.
I think, yeah, are the audience that would enjoy this kind of shit, like pretty much they're picking up what the show's putting down right off the bat there.
Right.
And is just the absolute worst fucking exploitation genre bullshit that you could possibly imagine. This is exactly the controversy from Goblin Slayer that is just
right. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, throw in some like just absolutely tasteless exploitation shit right in your first episode, so that you signal to the like the degenerates and the edgelords that like you're on their side, so that they'll watch your show.
Now let me ask,
and then you can do whatever you want afterwards.
Would this be an issue today if Berserk hadn't done it back in the 90s?
Yes, it would, because like sexual violence and exactly this kind of stuff is transcendent of any one particular work. I think the fantasy bent of it and the liberal use of it in anime fantasy definitely benefits from Berserk existing, but I think more from the fact that Berserk gives them cover to do it and lends it an air of legitimacy due to that, like, that work's success, both critically and commercially. Whereas if Berserk didn't exist, they would still employ it, but people would recognize it as a more nakedly cynical move, you know?
Right. So that was basically the first episode. I can only guess at where this series is going. I assume he's going to spend the next several episodes continually rising in power, attaining some kind of magical miscreant crew that he uses to, I don't know, fight all the heroes of this world or something. It's obvious that he's gunning to once again kind of become the top villain badass dude with all the powers that he gets from eating everybody.
That is your stock standard isekai hero. Yeah,
so
they all want to be the Punisher.
Yeah, this is really riding in the coattails of stuff like Solo Leveling or any number of them, but it's pretty well-worn territory, right?
Yeah, I mean, frankly, it's wild that we're going back to this well so often that even something like that, like those elements are just like bog standard shit. I mean, Isekai, we really have harped on Isekai so much, but it really is the fucking Taco Bell of fantasy genres. Elements you just remix over and over again to nauseating results, only tolerable to the most inebriated or low tasteless audiences, right?
Okay, listen. I want to put a message out there to you, our handsome, beautiful listeners. If any of you are Isekai fans, I just want to know, like, I have one question, like, are you okay? Are you doing all right? Like, are you fine? Like, are you sure that you want to be into this? Is that what you want to spend your time doing?
Please seek out somebody who will listen to you and talk to them. Talk to someone, okay?
You know, I'm not trying to be like, you know, super dismissive, like, oh, go touch grass. Like, I'm genuinely concerned for your well-being. Yeah.
Oh, there is a problem, and I think it's not being addressed, and it should be. Needs to be addressed.
Call your parents.
I will say, just for anime fans in general, here's my plea. For everyone who is even tangentially involved in, I hate to say hobby, but let's say interest, broad interest in anime, you deserve better.
You are valid. You have value. You deserve better than this.
No, just you need to demand it. I know that modern anime industry has taught you that you should just accept your slop and, like, this is the best you're going to get. But I promise you, if you demand better, you'll get better. You don't need to drink the slop. You don't need to feed yourself from the slop. The slop could be good. It could be good if we all collectively demanded it be so.
Listen, a good future is out there. It just needs to be taken.
Through collective action, we could demand the slop be better. I promise you, it could be better. You just need to realize inside yourself that you are worth it. You deserve better than this.
All right.
Okay, we need to leave you to ponder that, yeah. I think. We've all got very emotional for a second there. why don't you sit down and think about that for a little bit, okay? Of course, is a huge influence on Roberto Bolaño and the Argentinian fiction scene in general. So, oh, hey, welcome back. It's Anime Death Spiral. It's about anime and the death spiral. We were just talking about pizza. We were talking about pizza. Yeah. Pizza's great, right, Nate?
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. I was getting around to it because, as we're both aware, it is the spring season, as we've been talking about. The birds and the bees are fucking sun's out, guns out, and the cherry blossom trees are blossoming. It is Sakura season in glorious Nippon right now.
Those big pink trees, they're squirting their juice all over the place, as I understand
it. And you know what that means, don't you? It means that it is time for the yearly cavalcade of Sakura-themed food crimes that come out of Japan.
Because there's a big festival, right?
Well, it's not so much as a big festival. It's more of like during Sakura season, because Sakura trees only bloom for about a week, so it's very quick.
Wow, lazy.
Yeah, and so anytime during that week, it's just traditional to observe what's called hanami, or the Sakura viewing.
Right, and as I understand it, people come to the trees and everybody gathers around and they shake the trees, and like pinatas, all the Sakuras fall down onto the ground and people pick them up and they're eating them, they're enjoying them, they're having a good time with their family, right?
Yeah, that's about it. You may be mixing some other stuff in there, but you generally got it right. Yeah. No, you got it. You're fine.
Okay.
Yeah. But you go, you have a picnic, you eat flour flavored shit, which like...
Yeah, now I've never actually eaten any of these Sakura excretions, so I'm not really familiar. Is it like a particular flavor, or is there like a mouthfeel to it or something that people are really into? Because I don't really get it at
all.
Well,
you'd hope that
appeal.
It would taste like cherries, right? Cherry trees, cherry flowers, maybe there's some crossover. But
oh, are those related?
Yeah, yeah. Sakuras are cherry trees.
What?
What? You didn't know that? Come on. Know your fruit, bro. What you got no fruit knowledge?
This is blowing my mind right now.
This dude has no fruit knowledge. He's got no game and no fruit and no bitches.
I know. Hold on. I know the olive tree. I know the lemon tree.
Keep going. I know there's a couple more.
The avocado tree.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big one. I know. The plum tree. The plum tree, right?
Sure. Yeah, well, that's pretty dang close. Plums and cherries are pretty close to each other, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, when plum season was around, we would all gather around my grandfather's plum tree and shake it like a piñata and then eat all the plums off the ground. That was big in my family.
That was your family tradition. And then you'd set a Christian on fire inside of a big burning burning man.
Look, if you didn't eat them off the ground, then these really big squirrels would come around, and you didn't want them, like, invading your yard, because they fucking...
Oh, they'd fight you.
They love the plums, mm-hmm. especially when they get nice and, like, gross and start fermenting.
Oh, they get plum drunk.
Yeah, these giant squirrels would get plum drunk, and then they would start fighting each other. They would be killing neighbors' dogs and shit. They were wild, man. You do not want them around.
They'd have a little squirrel fighting tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Squirrel Budokai.
They would rip each other apart. this is what I'm picturing when you tell me about some kind of Sakura festival. This is what's going through my mind.
I mean, yeah, just switch out eating fermented fruit off the ground with drinking, like, perfume-flavored sake, basically.
Okay. All right. I guess I'm starting to get the picture.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I mentioned that doing a big picnic lunch for this is a big part of it. And, you know, I found something that I would bring with me on one of these delightful picnics amongst the ethereal beauty of the Sakura tree.
Are you gaming out your Sakura Day plans?
Yeah. No, I think I am. I think I'm planning it out.
Okay.
Domino's Japan offers what they call... and this is really a culinary revolution, a Sakura pizza. Sakura pizza.
Okay, I'm familiar with Domino's. Mm-hmm, they make a sort of pizza-like food that they will drive to your house.
Well, you see, you're legally allowed to call it pizza in Japan. You're not allowed to do that in Canada or Europe. In America, you have to call it a pizza concentrate.
Yes, I will say at least 50% of the food has to be pizza for you to call it a pizza. Sometimes you don't get 50% and you can ask for your money back.
There's very little sawdust in these pizzas.
But you're telling me in Japan they're like actually mostly pizza?
Yeah, no, it's well, they're allowed to call it mostly pizza. That's a big difference.
Oh, okay.
That's a
I
big
see.
Distinction.
Right.
I need you to get on the same page with me here.
It's a terminological difference.
Yes.
I see. Okay.
And so for a limited time only, you can get a pizza-like product that is 1.5 times the amount of cheese from a regular cheese pizza. So that's already pretty good right off the bat, right?
Okay. Everybody's favorite part of the pizza, the cheese.
They put it on top and they fuck it into the crust.
Great. That's great. I love this already.
So in addition, we have toppings such as condensed milk, strawberries, tapioca pearls, and Sakura chocolate, whatever that means.
Sakura chocolate?
Yeah. So, you know, kind of, it's like a subtle rose flavor, but also chocolate.
Oh, so like if you want your candy to taste like potpourri.
Exactly. Yes.
Cool.
Now you get it.
Yeah, that's dope as hell, man.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Now, what if I told you that's not all? What if I told you that in addition to that delightful dessert pizza, you can also get an order of sakura-crusted mozzarella balls?
Crusted in sakura, that's what you're saying?
In sakura-flavored batter, yes. What if we took the inherently inefficient shape of a mozzarella stick, cut it into the superior spherical supremacy of a ball.
Yes, yes.
So you can fit more into a bag, right?
Yeah, sure,
you know,
sure.
Imagine you're walking around town, you're hitting up the arcades, you're hitting up the casinos with your extra large bag of deep fried pink mozzarella balls.
Absolutely.
You're feeling pretty good about yourself.
Better hand feel, for sure.
You just pop them in your mouth whenever you want.
Yeah.
You don't have to fumble around with a big rod of cheese. Who wants that?
Yeah, absolutely. If you bite one end, it doesn't all squirt out the other end like you're in a comedy film.
And on top of that, the sakura flavor reminds you of your aunt's funeral every time you take a bite.
I'm really loving this. It sounds great. I mean, except for eating it, that part sounds disgusting.
Okay, well, what if I could sweeten the deal even more?
Even more?
What if I said for a limited time only, you could get an order of the sakura pizza and the sakura mozzarella balls.
Got it.
And a bottle of Chandon Rosé champagne delivered to you.
You know, I don't think anyone in France would ever call a rosé a champagne. I gotta say, I mean, even I think once you start blending champagne, French people already start eyeing their shotguns.
You know what? Take it up with Don Chandon.
Yeah, I will take it up with Don Chandon, that traitor.
All right. Well, you know, if that doesn't float your boat, we do have some more traditional type pizzas that you can order from Domino's Japan. Have you taken a look at some of these?
So the scenario here is that I don't want a sakura pizza for my sakura festival viewing day.
For some reason that I can't fathom, because I don't know why you wouldn't get the pink pizza.
But I still, for some reason, want to order Domino's. I still want the Domino's part.
Yeah.
Okay.
If your standards are low, but not that low.
Okay. Now, I will say, just to head you off first, I have had French pizza, just to kind of tie it together. So I have had the worst pizza in the world.
Yeah, I was about to say, you've eaten literal garbage.
Yes, I've eaten the worst possible pizza you could ever imagine. So right off the bat, I mean, everything.
Which is like,
on
that
this-
is crazy. How can you be so close to Italy and still fuck it up, right? It's like they do it on purpose.
Yes, it is sort of a cultural animosity thing. I think the whole point is to embarrass the Italians and prove that pizza is bad. Now, I don't think that's where Japan is coming from. I think they're on some other shit.
Yeah, no, they're coming at this from
a very different angle.
Full score for enthusiasm.
Yes. They seem to be trying to one-up the sort of, like, Super Bowl day novelty food angle.
Yes, the hot dog crust.
This nacho cheese filled pizza with that the cheese volcano giga meat. Now, I am in awe of the ingenuity, and not just the conceptual ingenuity, the literal engineering feat that is the cheese volcano giga meat. I have to give it up. You don't see that kind of shit in your Midwest Domino's.
What do you think the cheese bowl in the middle is made out of?
Whatever Japan thinks queso tastes like, I think it's that.
Now, one that caught my eye, if we look down just a little further, we have spicy mayo and mochi. This comes with rice cakes, corn, pork sausage, sliced asparagus, and seaweed.
I see also the spicy cod roe mayo sauce included in your spicy mayo and mochi.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm all about that.
You like that?
Oh, yeah.
Now, you like that? like that?
I'm a disgusting pig man.
Yes, clearly. You are an orc, because that is awful. This is truly disgusting.
You pick one, then.
I traditionally eat pizza with a marinara sauce. I will put that up front. So I am coming at this with a bit of a bias. I like the marinara. I think the marinara is good. So when I see a white sauce, I do get turned away pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
That being said,
were you some kind of anti-white racist?
I am a anti-white racist. It's true. Now, what I do like is variety. I love a variety. So when I see something that resembles pizza and calls itself the Cheddar Bacon Twist Premium Quattro, I am immediately intrigued. Now, this looks like it's got the chef's vegetable special on one side. The second side is a Giga Meat pizza.
So we're talking about a large pizza split into quarters.
Yes,
here.
They do the quarter system in Japan. Quarter two, Giga Meat. Now, of course, we've already established that's the king of all meats.
It's my favorite wrestler.
Yes. Number three is the seafood special, which I would hand off to somebody else because, as you know, I don't like things from the ocean. I think the ocean is a cursed place. But the fourth is the very intriguing Goryeo Galbi section of the pizza. And of course, this comes with the cheddar bacon twist crust.
Well, it would be a ripoff if it didn't.
Yeah, I know, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know what Goryeo Galbi is. I have to be honest with you. I don't know what that is.
But you're willing to give it a try, and that's what's important.
I would absolutely eat it because I'm looking at it, and it looks like the kind of thing that I would put in my mouth.
Okay, all right. Now here's one that I think that we could both agree is absolutely acceptable and maybe even enticing. The Garlic Master. Like, hell yeah, dude.
I consider myself something of a garlic master.
I dabble in the garlic arts.
Yeah, I love a garlics.
I think that anyone would be pleased with this pizza. We've got pork sausage, bacon, black pepper, tomato sauce, and double garlic. Double garlic.
Double garlic. Is that the secret garlic they don't let Americans have?
The no gaijin garlic.
I am definitely a dream.
I'd eat that all day.
Let me ask you this. Are you familiar with a bocconcini?
I am not.
Me neither. That is a complete mystery to me.
Say that word again?
What is a bocconcini? A bocconcini.
A bocconcini.
A bocconcini. What is that? Is that real?
Where are you seeing this? Where are you seeing this word? Are you being racist against Italians?
A bocconcini. A bocconcini.
Is that a dirty word? Are you making up a racial slur right now?
I have to look it up. I'm just going to look it up. Okay, bocconcini is a type of mozzarella. Okay, all right. It's just them trying to be fancy. Okay.
Okay, well, I can respect that.
I hate mozzarella.
Well, how can you hate mozzarella?
I hate mozzarella.
How can you hate mozzarella? What's wrong with mozzarella?
I hate mozzarella just like I hate mayo shrimp. Let me just scroll down really quickly. I hate shrimp. I hate mayo sauce. I hate mozzarella. I hate fried asparagus. I hate I hate corn that's been kerneled. I hate, let's see, what else? What else do we got? I hate mushrooms, obviously.
I know that you're not trying to hurt me on purpose.
I hate squid.
You'd be a bad person if you were.
I hate Hokkaido Gouda. I hate Hokkaido cheddar. I hate Hokkaido camembert. yeah, and I double hate mushrooms. I'm just going to throw that in twice.
Oh, I thought you were going to go for the Hokkaido gals joke.
I hate Hokkaido gals.
You're really setting it up.
I don't hate Hokkaido gals. I just hate their way they're represented in manga. Okay? All right.
You want proper Hokkaido gal representation.
I need real Hokkaido gal representation. Okay? I think it's time we stop stereotyping Hokkaido gals.
All right. Is that enough about pizza?
Yeah, I'm disgusted. I'm sick to my goddamn stomach. Thanks for that, Nate.
I'm going to order some of that Sakura pizza. I don't care. I don't care what the shipping cost is.
You have yet again reminded me that I don't think I would be able to survive in Japan just based on how disgusting I find the vast majority of Japanese food staples are.
That is so wild and disappointing to me.
You should definitely just send those pizzas out to random people and ask for them to review it and email us about it.
Yeah, that'd be great, right?
Put our email address on the name section of the order.
Hey, lucky listener out there, you might be getting a free pizza sometime soon.
Wow, we're doing our first promotional event, and it's a co-sponsored event with Domino's. Wow, we're doing good. We're really breaking through.
This has not been officially endorsed by Domino's.
Okay, let's talk about let's wrap up with a couple more shows that are going to be premiering soon. I think it's good to keep people informed, right?
Absolutely.
And we didn't get to all of them last time because there's just so many.
All right, let's get a couple of these in here. See what we're up against in this coming season.
Spring 2024. We've got a couple more shows. I have to say, a lot of these I'm a little ambivalent on. These are definitely going to be on my wait and see lists. But there's stuff we didn't get to last time, like Grandpa and Grandpa. Grandpa and Grandpa, that's better.
Yeah,
Grandpa and Grandma Turn Young Again is just one of those premises that's just like, well, that's cute. I mean, that's cute. Maybe it might be too cute. It might actually be like sickly sweet. That's my fear there.
See, they should have gone horrifying with it. That would be a twist.
Like an
M. Night Shyamalan's The Visit, but in reverse, a reverse visit.
Okay. What if their minds had become young, but not their bodies? What if it was that?
That's just dementia, dude.
Yeah. Oh, that is horrifying. That is truly horrifying.
That's already scary and real.
You know what I like about Grandpa and Grandma Turn Young Again is it sidesteps...
Is it that they turn young again?
It's that they turn young again. Yes, I like that. It sidesteps the traditional pitfall of the turns young again genre, which is obviously the pedophilia, the inherent pedophilia of it.
Oh, I'm so glad that it was able to sidestep that little issue.
Yes, I like that. The whole age gap discourse, we get to completely sidestep that whole thing. So good on you, Gecko Studio. I think you've really cracked it. You really cracked it. Let's see. What else do we got?
Let's see. I was Astronaut. This is one about a guy that gets... It's essentially Love, Hina again. Maybe we already covered this, but I was looking forward to it. It seems to be a much more grounded take on Love, Hina, less pervy, more cooking oriented, which is what I'm about. We've talked about that.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that it is actually not more grounded and less pervy than Love, Hina.
You want to put money on that?
I'm going to put my chips on the table.
Okay.
I'm pushing them in and saying this is just as disgusting and awful as Love, Hina is.
Well, we shall see on April 5th when the first episode comes out.
Yeah, you're getting all over that. You know what? It's because the girl isn't from this world. So we've got, instead of Love, Hina, we've got sort of an Ah, My Goddess vibe, like right off the bat.
It's nostalgic in a way that that I think the they're trying to go for intentionally.
Well, we'll find out. You know what I am interested in? Is Train to the End of the World, because what pairs better than cutesy high school girls and an impending apocalyptic doom?
Why does that keep happening to cute high school girls?
You know, I think there's just something about society that deems cute high school girls are the only worthy beings to survive until the end days.
Well, got no argument from me, I guess. You know what, anime girls? You're doing fine. You're good by me.
The only thing that God loves is anime girls.
You say that jokingly, but I think that is 100% true. I think God is a Yuri weeb.
Oh, Jesus. No wonder we suffer.
Yeah.
Our suffering is endless.
You know what I was just kind of looking at here? Seems kind of interesting.
Uh-huh.
Girls Band Cry. Kind of following in the tradition of cute high school anime girls being in a band. That's like a whole genre to itself these days, right?
You want a second hit of that Bocchi.
If I did want a second hit of the Bocchi, I could watch the second season of Bocchi. I think that came out.
Yeah, or the movie that's coming out.
Yeah, or the movie, but yeah, why not? I see the main character is a high school dropout. That's cool. That's almost more conducive to being a musician, right?
Conducive. Yes.
Yeah, conducive. Yeah, I have words.
I would say I find the fact that the premise implicitly states that all of these girls are drawn together due to their horrible suffering to be a little off-putting.
Well,
but,
you know,
hey, you do you.
I was raised on Hideo Kojima stories.
I was raised on them, yeah.
I was raised on them from a wee lad.
You should really get yourself into a learning class so you can read his book. I would really recommend that. You know, one of the ones I was looking at, is called High Speed Etoile, which is girls getting into F1 racing. They call it NEX racing because I assume it's next.
Next.
It's the next level of racing.
Next racing. Maybe
yeah.
The nexus of racing.
I am concerned. Well, not concerned. I am confused because it does seem to say that the cars are controlled by AI. So I'm not sure what the anime girls actually do if the cars do all the driving.
Maybe they do the driving and the cars. I am assuming it's a speed racer setup where they have, like, I don't know, gadgets and jumping involved. I don't know, probably, right?
Man, that would be so cool.
It almost has to be, right? Look at the costumes. Those are the costumes of people whose cars can jump.
Maybe. The more depressing thing that occurred to me first is that these are, of course, the mascots of the cars.
Like, maybe they're not really there. They're just kind of like the personifications of the car AI.
You know, like in the opening of The Simpsons where Maggie is just sitting in the side seat, like pretending to drive with a little fake steering wheel?
Yeah.
They're doing that.
It's like that. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The AI's like, you're such a great driver, Rin. You're so good at this. And it's actually doing everything.
Okay, I had one last one that caught my eye here.
Okay, go ahead.
That was Oi Tanbo, golfing anime about a girl who was raised by her grandfather after her parents died. So we got more girl trauma.
Yeah, you really like that girl trauma.
But I don't know. Golfing seems like an interesting topic for a sports anime, right?
Well, you know, I am kind of philosophically and politically opposed to golfing in its entirety, so I do despise her right off the bat.
This is the one thing that is really interesting to me here. It says that she was taught golfing by her grandfather, who is a fisherman, and so I think that he is going to teach her a like secret technique to a perfect golf swing by comparing it to casting a fishing rod, right?
Sure, casting a reel, yeah.
Yes. I think that's where they're going with that, and I think that is incredibly endearing, and so I'll probably give that a try.
Sure, and I hope, just like Jonathan Langan's book, The Fisherman, she encounters horrifying otherworldly beings and is scarred for life.
Well, you know, it's a loose adaptation of The Old Man and the golf course and the anime girl in the sea.
Yes, I hope all the grass turns brown. Okay, the one that I thought looked kind of interesting.
Let's do one more and then let's wrap it up.
There's actually a couple. This is a little weird, but there are more than two shows premiering this season about crow men.
About what?
Crow men.
Like people who have like crow heads?
Men who are crows.
Okay. All right.
You know, crow men.
Sure. Okay. You can just keep saying it. It's not going to make more sense to me.
They're men who are crows. I think that's very self-explanatory. One of them's called Yata Garasu, the raven does not choose its master.
Okay.
Which is about a man who is a crow. A crow man.
Sure.
This one's sort of a period piece. It's about a murder, and there's a mutant crow man because he's got three legs.
Oh. That's not a third leg, buddy.
Well, hey, we haven't watched it yet. Don't spoil it. I want to see how it plays out, okay? I like this crow man because, I don't know, there seems to be, like, battles and whatnot. The other crow man series premiering this year seem to primarily be more of a slower-paced slice-of-life crow mans, which is, you know, it's fine if you want that, but you know, I'm just the kind of guy who likes a little bit of crow man sword fighting and magic and action and stuff.
Sure.
There are two flavors that go well together, crow man and sword fighting.
I mean, it's an obvious pairing, really.
Yes. I mean, look, and we all liked Howl's Moving Castle, right?
We all liked
Howl's Moving Castle,
well,
right?
Yeah. No, I loved it.
Good.
You know, number one.
Okay.
Ghibli movies are so good, you know?
They're really good, okay?
They're really good, right? And I love them, and it doesn't matter that they're for little babies.
Yes.
Because really, they're for, like, everybody.
They're for everyone, and that's why Howl's Moving Castle is good, right?
Yeah. No, please don't.
Okay. Thank you. We can stop now. Now that you've agreed that Howl's Moving Castle is good, we can end the show.
I'm sorry.
Thank you for listening. Handsome and beautiful listeners who are obviously fans of Howl's Moving Castle and Crowmen in general. I'm glad that you could listen to us. Yet again, you managed to find your way back to the podcast. I don't know how you do it because we hide it every week in a new place, but you still found it. Good job. I'm so proud of you. I hope you can find it next week because I'm going to make it really hard. Get your thinking caps on, everybody. I'm going to hide it in a really weird place next week. So look forward to that. We're going to start talking about the shows that are actually premiering that aren't isekai. So that's going to be really exciting. I'm going to have a couple to talk about. And the dramatic conclusion to The Witch and the Beast and Butchigiri. Whoa. Gonna love talking about that. We're gonna get real in depth with that.
Yeah, you gotta like, real in depth with that.
Yep, so look forward to that next week, you guys. Bye. Bye. About trauma, like what is a story even about?
If it's not about trauma, it's not for mama.